Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to sit down on this bench here and watch you guys for the next hour and see what God does for you. Hallelujah. I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Carden, can I get you to stand right there? Right on the dots there. Justice for you here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. How many of you guys had a good time at Easter? Good time of the Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to talk a little bit more about resurrection because, God has been walking and talking with me, and everything that He's telling me, it's about flow. It's about who He is in my life and how He flows down in me and out of me. Is that okay? And God is doing the same thing with you. He's placing things within you so that you will have the ability to speak those things at the right time, the right moment. God is doing something. Hallelujah. And He calls it, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Is that okay? You guys okay with that? Hallelujah. Because, a lot of times it's not even us. The things you plan to say, you don't say, and all of a sudden things come out of your mouth and it touches somebody. Is that cool? That's really cool. Hallelujah. Carden here is going to be our Jesus, and he's going to play like he's on the cross. Okay? And I don't think Jesus was smiling. No, come on, man. It makes it rough. Hallelujah. We're here just to see how long. Everybody got a stopwatch. We can see how long Carden can hold his arms out that way. No, I wouldn't do that to you, brother. But the Word of God says that that Jesus died and He gave up the ghost. Before He did that, He had said a few things. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How many of you say that personally? You know what, God, I really don't know what I'm doing, but God, I need you. I need you more today than I've ever needed you before. How many of you say that to the Lord? I say, is that truth? Because I'm going to tell you, that's what it is. It's God. I mean, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Is that right? Keep them arms up there, brother. Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. But the Word of God says that He said, one of the things He said, Father, into thy hands I what? Commit my spirit. He said, it is finished. It's a done deal. That which God had intended on the earth was complete. And He gave up the ghost and died. You can keep your hands up there. Good man. And the Bible says that they came and they took Him off the cross and laid Him in a tomb. You guys can do that. And we're going to see how well these guys can do this, handle this guy. Hallelujah. I had one bench. Whoa. Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, put them on both benches. there you go. There you go. You're dead. No smiling. Hallelujah. They laid him in a tomb. And the Word of God tells us that. I'll just show you something. I'd like to show you the word resurrection. How many of you know that there was a resurrection headed toward that, toward what Jesus had done? So the word resurrection. You got that, brother? The Greek word is anastasis. Anastasis. This is a form of the word where we get anesthesia. But anastasis is the word is a Greek word for resurrection. And it means a standing up again or raised to life again. How many say amen to that? Or resurrection from what? From death. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. Hallelujah. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when God the Father, after 3 days, where was He at? Where was Jesus at for 3 days? Was in hell. Why? This is a good question. Why was He in hell? He was in hell because of me. Everybody, point your finger to yourself, say, because of me.
Point your finger at your neighbor next to you. Really, because of you, man. Oh, man. And look across the other one. Oh, I just disconnected myself. He was in hell for us. Is that right? He had done no wrong. Hadn't done a thing to deserve hell. But what he came to do was to redeem us. Is that right? He came and died for our sins so that we could be set free. How many know that? How many say amen to that? How many like being free? How many like the freedom that Christ has brought to you today? Is that a good freedom? It's a good freedom. So on the third day, early that Sunday morning, that first day of the week, I can imagine the Father looking at his watch, looks at his stopwatch. It's time. Can you imagine what was going on? Angels rejoicing. It's time. God just said it's time. It's time. Time for what? I don't know, but it's time. Hallelujah. It's time. Because the price has been paid. Amen. Hallelujah. And that Bible says resurrection, a standing up again. In the name of Jesus, Jesus stood up. Go ahead and stand up, brother. And just kind of show them the scars and just go like, yeah, come on, man. Praise God. Hey, you can smile now. Yeah. Hallelujah. Just wanted to bring that because I want to start you. I want to start you on the first day of the week after Jesus has risen from the dead. Is that okay? So if you will, go to John chapter 20. Thank you, Hank. Good man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ooh, I got excited this morning. I'm still excited. Just not as excited as I was. Glory to God. Starting at John chapter 20. I'm going to do a little reading this morning. Starting at verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she ran and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to him, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. I like the way the Apostle John is writing this narrative, and he calls himself by the third person. He says the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And then he says he came first. He outran Peter. Oh, man. Come on. I think you're getting some digs in on Peter. What do you think? Say, man, I'm pastoring you, Peter. Hallelujah. I'm going to let him know that. But that other disciple, he outran him. He outran Peter. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. And then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. How many know that Jesus had told them quite a few times, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to take me. They're going to mishandle me. They're going to scourge me. They're going to whip me. And I'm going to die on a cross, and the third day I will rise from the dead. Do you know that Jesus told them that? Jesus had told them that a few times. But these men still were, when John got in there, he said, now he believes. Is that right? Because now he sees that Jesus' body just isn't there. It's an empty tomb. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Then the disciples went away again to their own home, But Mary stood outside the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and she see two angels in white linen, in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Jesus was so overcome with the fact that Jesus wasn't there, that the body of Jesus wasn't there, she didn't even realize there were two angels talking to her. How many of you know if you had an angel talking to you, would you kind of let him get your attention? I know I would. But look what she does. And when she had just said, she turned herself, she turned around. I would have said, "Hey man, you guys angels? Yeah. Dude, man. Hey man, where's Jesus at?" She could have asked the angels, is that right? These guys showed up out of nowhere. All of a sudden she says, "Hey man, there's these two angels in there." And she sees them and she goes, "Dude." And they asked her, "Why are you weeping, Mary?" She goes, "Hey, they've taken him and we don't know where he's at." She was specifically looking for Jesus. She wasn't looking for angels. How many know that? You know, there's a lot of people nowadays that are looking for angels. You know that? Not looking for Jesus so much, but they're looking for angels. I tell you what, you need to be looking for angels. No, you need to be looking for Jesus. Come on, man. You guys are going to say, "Hey, what?" No, you need to be looking for Jesus. Just like Mary was. Mary was looking for Jesus. You know, yeah, you guys might be angels, but that's cool. I don't want to bother with you. I'm looking for Jesus. That's cool. That's what I get out of it. I like that. I like that Mary was, her heart was looking for Jesus. Is that right? Man. When she said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if thou had borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said unto her, "Mary." I like that. She turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." And Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and what? Your Father. And to my God and your God." Very specific note that God, that Jesus was saying, "Look, I'm going to my Father. He's your Father too. I'm going to my God, and he is your God too." How many of you know that he is your Father? Do you know that? He's your God. He's done everything he can for you. Is that right? He has done absolutely everything he can for you. And then he's your Father. He's the one that listens to those cries. He's the one that heart breaks for you. He's the one that when you come to him as your Father, that he says, "Yeah, come on, man. Sit up here on my knee. Whisper in my ear so that I can whisper my words back to you." Isn't that cool? He's your Father. Say to him, "I go to my God and your God. I go to my Father and your Father." Hallelujah. He's your God and he's your Father. Can I tell you how important your relationship is to God? He doesn't want you knowing him through a religious system. He wants you knowing him face to face, heart to heart. He wants to know you that close. And that's what I love about him. Hallelujah. He's not trying to see how well you can do. I mean, you know that? He's not trying to see how good you are. He already knows how good you are. He already knows how well you can do. But do you know that he knows you are better than what you know you are? Do you know that? He has designed you specifically for something very specific in this earth today. Hank has been talking about how that God had shot him into the air, into the earth, and back in the 1800s. Is that right, Hank? Where are you? I'm kidding. Hank is not that old. He came in the earth, I think 1956 is what he told me. What year did you come into the earth? Can I tell you this, that God sent you into the earth at that time? You are here because he has planned for it. He purposed it for you to be here at this time, this moment, this day, so that we can reach a world that doesn't know about Jesus. Isn't that cool? Amen. Come on. Is that cool?
That's a wimpy amen if I ever heard a wimpy amen. Amen, brother. I'll say to you, come on, man. Hank, sorry. No, sorry, Hank, you didn't hear the 1800 thing, did you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. And then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." I think these are good words because when the doors were shut, probably locked, and he walks in, it might have been kind of a, whoa, hey, peace be to you, is what he says to him. And when he had said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Can I tell you that it's important to Jesus that you receive the Holy Ghost? Can I tell you that? If he said it to them, he's saying the same thing to us. It's important to God that you receive the gift that he has sent into the earth to be with you, to help you, to comfort you, to walk with you, to lead you, to guide you. It's important to God. And he says to his disciples, receive the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, you got to receive him. It's got to be something that you receive, not something that you fight off, not something that you say, well, I don't believe that. Hallelujah. You just say, well, that's what the Word of God says. So if that's what God's Word says, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and receive that. I'm going to see what God has. How many of you want to receive everything that God has for you? Can I tell you, the way he's going to get it to you is by his Holy Spirit. There is no other avenue to get what God has for you. It's by the Spirit of God that he brings these things to you. How many know that? Hallelujah. It's a good thing to know. He really is. So he tells us, his disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted to them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Hallelujah. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have seen and yet have believed." How many of you believe God? How many have seen him? Not a lot of us have seen him. Is that, now, there are some folks that have seen Christ, that Jesus has appeared to them. But I'm going to tell you something. For the most part, we are believing in him through what the Word of God tells us that came through the apostles, the prophets. Hallelujah. We are believers. Amen? Come on. And he says here, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed." Can I tell you this morning, you are a blessed bunch of people. Is that right? Turn to your right hand and tell your friend that you are blessed. Tell them that you are blessed. And look on the other side and say, "Man, you are blessed even more than him, her." Hallelujah. Come on, you're blessed. You are blessed. Hallelujah. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing you might have life through his name. First chapter 21 says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them,
I go fishing. Sometimes when you just don't know what to do, sometimes what we do, we just go back to doing what we've always done. Is that right? Jesus is gone now. They're not sure what to do. They're all sitting by the sea, and Peter goes, you know what? There's a boat. I know how to fish. I go a fishing. Is that sounds kind of weird, huh? The way he said, he could have said, well, I'm going fishing. No, he said, I go a fishing. And the guys that are with him say, we are going with you. We're going to fish with you, Peter. Because we can tell you that. I think you're supposed to be the boss here, Peter. And we don't know what else to do. We're going to go fish with you. They said to him, we go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. I like that. Probably a little frustrated. You see us out here fishing, man. You're asking us. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore. And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat onto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples dared ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus came and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. And verse 14 says this, now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. I want you to notice it says it was his third time. See, the Bible has, the Word of God has a law that by two or three witnesses, everything shall be established. Do you know that? Do you know that whenever God speaks to you, and sometimes God will say things to you that are just not exactly what you've been learning, what you were taught as you were young in the Lord or whatever, and it's a little contrary, it's a different thing, but it's new, and you can sense that God is saying something to you, and God is speaking and revealing something to you. If he does that to you, you don't just take that one and take off with it. Can I say that to you? What you do, you say, okay, Lord, I sense you saying this to me. I'm not sure if this is right because I wasn't taught this way. Can you show it to me again? And the Lord loves you to do that. You know why? Because his word tells you that's the way he establishes anything. I want you to look at the scripture. It's in Deuteronomy 19:15. The word of God says this, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. In any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses, and then he says this, shall the matter be established. You see what God is saying? He says it takes two or three witnesses to establish anything in the Word of God, or so that God can establish a truth to you. How many know that God is true? Do you know that? How many know the words that Jesus said are true? Do you know that? Truth is powerful. It's passionate. It's without moderation. Do you know that? How many know that? It's passionate. It's powerful, truth is. It doesn't have moderation like your car does. You can step on the gas, make it go faster, let off, and it goes slower. Is that right? Truth isn't that way. It's either all true or it's not true at all. It is always fast forward. Truth is. That's the way truth is. But you got to know it and you got to recognize it. Is that right? Is that okay? Hallelujah. Truth. God wants to give us truth. He wants to show us truth. Jesus is truth. How many know that? Hallelujah. Huh. Let's look at Matthew 18:16 is one. He's talking about people in the church, just giving some instruction. He says, but if you will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So what I'm presenting to you is that God, when John said that this was the third time that that Jesus appeared to the disciples, God was establishing the resurrection. Can I tell you that? The third time. He didn't appear to unbelievers that much, did he? He appeared to his disciples and said, look, this is the third time I am establishing something. My son rose from the dead to pay for your sins. Isn't that cool? That's a deal. Amen. Praise God. Amen, Pastor. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43, verse 19. So God is doing a new thing. He is establishing something new. He is establishing the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the payment for sin. But it's a lot more than that. He says, behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in where? How many know it's hot here? Was it hot yesterday? Oh man, we were at the ballpark yesterday. It was hot. I mean, had a little umbrella. And every time if you got a little bit of sunlight on your pants, your rosy go, hey, my pants are burning my legs. Okay. It was hot. And you know, and it was hot. I'm gonna tell you something. God is saying, he goes, I'm establishing a new thing. There's going to be rivers. Rivers. Yeah, how many know? Like, I can't get away from flow. God has been talking to me so much about flow that I just can't get everything I'm looking at in the Word of God. God is saying it's about flow, Henry. It really is. It really is about my presence coming within the believer and flowing out of the believer and into the city. Is that cool? So he says, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. That's what I like. You know, if the enemy would have known what Jesus was about to do, this is what the scripture says, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Is that right? So let's just look at that real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 says, therefore, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. No, 1 Corinthians 2, 8, I think. There we go, yeah. None of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord. I love this scripture. If they would have known. See, the princes of this world were driven by the powers of this world. Do you know that? So what that tells me is Satan had no idea what he was getting himself into. I love it. And like, I don't like talking about that guy with horns and don't shake my hand, it's okay. That guy with horns, that guy with a tail, whatever you want to call him. I don't like talking about him. The Bible says not to give him any place, so I don't give him much place. I like to talk about him when he's defeated. He's always been defeated. How many know that? Hallelujah. There's people that want to raise him up to a position. Hey, the devil's doing this, the devil's doing that. And you know what? Who cares what the devil's doing? God has redeemed us. We are the people of God. Is that right? And if we're listening to the Holy Spirit, you watch what changes. Can I say to you that the devil is a defeated foe? Can I say to you that the demons and all those other parts of defeated, they have been defeated. They have been defeated by Jesus. And we are carriers, is that right? We are carriers of the resurrection. Do you know that? Do you know that you are a carrier of the resurrection? Do you know that it dwells within you? Do you know that? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let's look at this scripture. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Come on, and everything's brand new. Come on, I'm going to tell you, I don't care how old you are, you pass away and everything's new. You didn't get that. Okay. It's cool. Old things have passed away and everything is new. Is that right? Because you believe in Christ, because you believe in what he's done for you. Is that okay? Is that good? Come on, man. That's good. Aren't you glad old things are passed away? Aren't you glad? Are you happy about that? Well, John and Pat and I, all of our testimonies are about the same thing. We were drinkers. I don't know if it's a tough one. Isn't that right, Pat? We're party guys, huh? Had no idea what we were doing. But we all three of us, when we got saved, first thing we went to our house, when we got home, I had a little thing that had alcohol and bar and everything. And I'm not trying to, but let me say, this is what I did. When I got home, man, every bottle of whatever I had went out to the backyard. I had a trash can, a metal can. Boosh, it was kind of fun. I had all my records, just like Pat and John. Crack, boom, in that same can. Crack, boom. You see, I was a new man. I was brand spanking new. Didn't know what I was doing. What are you doing that for? I don't know, but it feels good. Hallelujah. I had given my heart to Jesus. Hallelujah. I was a new creature in Christ. Didn't know what God had for me. Had no idea what he... If I would have known, probably wouldn't know. Just kidding. Praise God. New creature in Christ. Galatians chapter 2:20. I want you to know this. Do you know? How many of you have accepted Jesus into your heart this morning? How many have ever... Giving Jesus, how many of you remember what I'm talking about? When one minute you're doing things and the next minute it's changed. Something within you has changed. How many of you can relate to that? That all of a sudden I don't want to do what I've been doing. There's something else here, and it's the greatest thing. I went around trying to talk to all my friends that were Catholics. Tell them, man, you're doing it wrong and everything. I thought I was the missionary to the Catholic Church. Found out later that God says, calm down, boy. Calm down. Hallelujah. I was getting them all upset. Giving them these chick tracks. You know, have you ever seen chick tracks? Anybody seen a chick track? Those tracks are mean. If you look out, they're mean tracks. I go, man, I kind of embarrassed giving people this thing, man. Because God is love. God does love folks. And God knows where they're at. Hallelujah. But I was a new creature in Christ, and I was, man. But it took a while for me to learn what God was doing with me. How many know that? It takes a while. How many, you got to grow in Christ. Is that right? You got to accept God's word and let that word build you and strengthen you. That's why it's so important, folks. Do not get, I mean, there's a lot of good reading material out there, but there's nothing like the Bible. Nothing like the word of God. Nothing like it. It will lead you, guide you, and take you where God wants to take you. So stay in the book. Stay in the Bible. But it says, this is what Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Can I say this to you, that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do you know that you died on the cross? Do you know that when you accepted him, that thing that he did on the cross became so real to you? He did it even before the foundation of the world. But when you accepted him, you became his. Is that right? Can I tell you that? You became the property of God. How do you like being the property of God? Hallelujah. I need a t-shirt that says that. Property of God. God's property. Hallelujah. The word of God tells us, Jesus says this, I think it's in, don't even try to think. The word of God says that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know, how many know that? How many know that? Jesus, when he was talking to Lazarus' sister Martha, do you remember? When Lazarus was in the grave and Martha went to him and said, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus told him, he goes, your brother's going to rise again. She goes, Lord, I know he's going to rise in the resurrection. And one of the things Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection. Do you hear that? I am the resurrection. See, he is the resurrection and the life. Is that right? So not only is it the way, the truth, and the life, but he's also the resurrection. Do you hear me? Listen to me closely. So therefore, if the way, the truth, and the life lives in you, if the door lives in you, because he said he was the door, he said he was the good shepherd. Do you remember all those things he said? I am. He is all the I ams. They're all within you because he's in you. Is that good? He is also the resurrection that's within you. I want you to hear that this morning, because it is through that resurrection the flow comes. Do you hear that? Listen to me. It is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that the power of the Lord comes to you. He is the resurrection that's in your life. Hallelujah. Wow. Woo, I get excited, man. I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting... Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Just Romans 6 is a neat reading. When you go in the Word of God, just read it when you get a chance. It says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. How many have been baptized? Anybody? Anybody been wet? Got wet in water? Raise those hands up again. I just want to see who hasn't been. No, I'm just kidding. Know ye not that as many as were baptized into Christ, look what the Word of God is saying, were baptized into his death. Do you see that? So when he hung on that cross and the sins of the world were placed on there, he's calling out your name and whatever year you gave your heart to the Lord. The year I gave my heart to the Lord was 1979. And he says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. And then he says this, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Can I tell you this morning, folks, that the newness of life that God has for you has always been with you. It's within you. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, has paid for that. And he's brought that resurrection. When you accepted him, he came into your life. He brought that resurrection into your life. Can I say that to you? Can I tell you, therefore, that's why you should not be sick. Can I say that to you? Is it okay if I say that to you? That's why you should not be without. That's why every need should be, hallelujah, taken care of in your life, because he is the resurrection. That power is dwelling in you. This is kind of tough to read and understand, but I want to read this to you in the Message Bible, if you'll let me. So can we start with verse 1 of the Message Bible? Now I want you to listen very closely, because I love this. When I was reading it, I took a look at it and I said, man, come on, God, it's saying things that I want to say. Not sure how to say it, but Lord, and it was like the Lord said to me, just show it to him. Hey, good idea. Hallelujah. So here it is. So what do we do? What do we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? Hallelujah. I should hope not. If we left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Do you hear what he's saying? We left that country. You left your house. Is that right? How can we live there? We can't live there anymore. We're in a different country. How many know that? What country are we in now, folks? We are in the kingdom of God. Is that right? Hallelujah. Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. And when we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of what? Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. A new life in a new land. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Amen? Everybody say amen. Hallelujah. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace sovereign country. Is that cool? Come on. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Jesus, with Christ. Is that right? If you feel like you want to shout, go ahead and shout. Anytime you want to shout. Folks, this is good. It really is good. Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. A decision, a decisive end to that sin, miserable life. Amen? Hallelujah. Man, I'm glad I'm not drinking anymore. I'm glad I'm not a drunk. Well, I'm not a drunk. I'm not drinking, but I'm just so glad that I'm not smoking like I used to. I'm just so glad that I'm not going after things like I used to, ignoring my wife. No longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this: if we get included in Christ's sin conquering death, we also get included, listen to this, in his life saving what? Resurrection. Come on, man. Hallelujah. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us. Is that cool? Hallelujah. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language. That means nothing to you, oh men and women of God. Nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue. And you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. Everybody say, that's what Jesus did. Everybody say it again. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Come on. Don't even run little errands that are connected with the old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. Servants of what? Righteousness. Hallelujah. So, since we're out from under the old tyranny, does that mean we can live any old way we want? I'm asking you a question. Does that mean you can live any old way you want? Say it again. Does that mean you can live any old way that you want? No. Hallelujah. Since we're free in the freedom of God, can we do anything that comes to mind? No. Hardly. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. Do you know that? There are acts of so-called freedom that actually destroy freedom. Offer yourselves to sin, for instance, and it's your last free act. Come on. But offer yourselves to the ways of God, and the freedom never quits. All your lives, you've let sin tell you what to do. But thank God you've started listening to a new master. Amen? One whose commands set you free to live openly in his freedom. I'm using this freedom language because it's easy to picture. You can readily recall, can't you, how at one time, the more you did just what you felt like doing, not caring about others, not caring about God, the worse your life became and the less freedom you had. How much different is it now as you live in God's freedom? Your lives healed and expansive in holiness. As long as you did what you felt like doing, ignoring God, you didn't have to bother with right thinking or right living or right anything for that matter. But do you call that a free life? What did you get out of it? Nothing. You're proud of now. Where did it get you? A dead end. Is that right? That's good. But now that you've found, you don't have to listen to sin tell you what to do and have discovered the delight of listening to God telling you, what a surprise, a whole healed, put together life right now with more and more life on the way. Amen. Everybody say amen to that. More and more life on the way. Work hard for your sin, your whole life, and your pension is what? But God's gift is real life. Eternal life, delivered by who? Jesus. Jesus, our Master. King James says that the wages of sin, that's the last verse, is the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Woo, come on. Can I tell you this morning? Listen, just say this to you. It's important that you understand this. It's important that you understand that you are no longer a slave of sin, but you are a slave to righteousness. Do you understand that? Do you understand when Jesus is in your heart, hallelujah, that those things that have come against you before in the old life, the old man, those things have been pushed away. And it's our mindset that tries to bring them back, but you can resist those things because God has given you the power to resist those things. You know what that power is called? It's called the power of resurrection. It really is the Holy Ghost. He is the Spirit. He is the Spirit that came and revived Jesus. Do you know that? It was the Holy Spirit that was sent to come on. It's time to get up. Hallelujah. Love the man of God. Hallelujah. And it is him. It is the resurrection in your life that brings these things to you. You are no longer a sinner. How do we know that? You are no longer that. It's important that we speak what God speaks. Is that right? How many of you know that? How many of you have learned that? How many of you know that that one of the hardest things to tame is the tongue? Do you know that? Do you know the Word of God says that? The hardest thing to tame is the tongue. Because we will say things without even thinking about it. How many of you know that? Does anybody do that? Yeah. Happens when I hit my hand with a nail. I mean, with a hammer or something. But things might start coming out. But yeah, I've noticed something. Things are going, oh, Lord, ow. It didn't used to be that way. You know what I mean? You don't know what I mean. Glory to God. Used to be that way. Our mouths, folks, listen. Our mouths get us in trouble. Can anybody say that? Anybody say amen to that? Yeah, our mouths can get us into trouble. Jesus says with the mouth, we can create evil things or good things. Either one, the mouth is going to create it. Do you know that? It's crazy. Can I say something to you? That when Jesus is dwelling within you, I want you to listen to this because it's something that God has put on my heart to say to the body of Christ. You cannot no longer say that I'm not perfect. Can you know that? Do you know why that's so incorrect to say that I'm not perfect? Because perfection has been placed within you when you gave your heart to the cross. When you gave your heart to Jesus, perfection came into you. His name is Jesus. For you to say, I'm not perfect, it is directly contrary to what God is trying to do in your life. So quit saying that. Can I say that to you this morning? I'm giving you some advice. Try not to say those things because the fact of the matter is perfection is dwelling in you and it's no place to hide. It is something that God says, okay, because we are together in this thing. Henry, do you know that you just can't go around saying those things you said? I'm just using myself as an example. Is that okay? Are you okay with that? I'm not talking about folk. I'm not trying to do stuff that's wrong, saying things with my mouth, trying to hurt me. But can I tell you, I'm just using myself as an example because I don't want to say anything to any of you. We need to pay attention to what we're saying because words are powerful. The resurrection life of Christ is within us. And I got one more scripture to tell you. I want to show you. And this is Romans chapter 8, verse 10. Because watch this scripture. This is what I like to call, it shows the flow of the Holy Spirit, of the resurrection life that's within it. Verse 10 says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Do you see that? You need to reckon yourself. You need to consider yourself just that way. What the Word of God is saying to you, if Christ is in you, consider yourself dead. But the Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit, by his Spirit that what? Dwells in you. Can I tell you that God has given you everything you need? The Holy Spirit dwelling with you, Jesus dwelling in you via the Spirit. His life is within you. That's why Jesus told the disciples, look, Some folks say, oh, kingdom's over there or over there or over there. But he says, listen, the kingdom is within you. I was asking God, how do we extend our reach into this city? How are we going to do it, Lord? I've got no idea. Lord, I got to know. I need to know how to do this, Father. Hallelujah. For some reason, which I don't have any idea, you've called me to be a pastor of this church, and I've got no idea why you did that, but God, so I've got to ask you, what do you want me to do? How do we do it? How do we extend our reach into this city? And he told me very clearly, the way you're going to extend your reach into the city is extending your reach down within you, because the kingdom is within you, folks. Do you hear me? The kingdom's within you. God has given you precious promises, gifts, giftings. They're already placed within you. The only way you're going to discover them is via the Holy Spirit speaking to you as you're reading the Word of God, as you're asking God, as you're going after God, and you're saying, God, what do you have for me? Because I'm going to tell you something. When you begin to operate in that thing that God got for you, the world will come looking for it. They really will. They're going to say, hey, man, come and listen to this guy. Look at this lady. Watch her, man. You know, we need her to teach us something, because the Spirit of God that's within you begins to display itself in the glory of the kingdom that's in your life. Isn't that cool? It's already in you. It's already there. But you got to dig for it. You got to say, Lord, show me these things. That's what we're doing. This is what I'm asking the body of Christ in this city to do, us here, that we dig deep, that we go to God for everything. You got something going on with your body? Can I say this to you? This right here, this scripture right here says, he will quicken your mortal body by that Spirit that dwells in you. Oh, you can come to me. You can say, hey, man, I need my pastor to pray for me. You can do that, but I'm not the one that heals you. Amen? It is the Holy Spirit that does it. It is God that I am the God that healeth thee, is what the Lord says. It is nobody else. It's him. So if I'm going to ask you, I'm going to ask you to stand, and I want to pray for you this morning that the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, will just suddenly begin to flow up in your lives this morning. Hallelujah. I was telling some folks this morning, yesterday, I was at the ball game, and a few nights ago, I was told that the coach of the team had bad knees and that he was in extreme pain. And he's got these kind of like braces on his knees, I guess, trying to help him out and everything. And I've been just looking at him and praying for him. I said, Lord, this guy's trying to help kids and he's out there in pain. And I said, that's just not right. Hallelujah. So yesterday, the Lord said, I want you to pray for him. I said, okay. He's always got a crowd of kids around him, Lord. I'll try. I was talking to some families and to some people that were there, and I turned around and I looked, and he was by himself in the dugout. I said, oh, man, all right. So I walk over, I tell him, hey, Steve, his name is Steve. I said, I know you don't know me, but I'm Davin's grandfather, and I feel like I just want to pray for you, man. You know, this last weekend, and he goes, yeah, it was Easter, yeah. And so we talked a little bit, and I said, you know what Jesus did on the cross? He did it for you, Steve. If you'd been the last man in the world, he would have done it for you. That healing that you need in your legs, I want to pray for that right now, if you'll let me. He says, oh, sure. Great, man. And while I was praying for him, one of the things that the Lord brought up in my heart, he says, look, the stripes that Jesus took were for you. I'm saying this to all of you. The stripes that Jesus took on that cross were for you, for healing. Is that okay? They are for your healing. He took that for you. And I said to him, I said, I'm going to command your body to respond to what Christ has done for you in your knees. In Jesus' name. He says, okay, all right. So that's what we did. We prayed. And I am expecting, folks, I'm telling you, I'm desperately expecting that he's going to become, when we go watch him play again, he's going to say, hey, man, my knees are feeling better. Yeah, they're going to be brand new. Is that right? How many of you know you're a new creation in Christ? Hallelujah. You know what? We need to see the experience.
we need to see the power of God in our city to a point where people say, man, that can only be God. That can only be God. Woo! So I'm expecting to see Coach Steve with knees that are like brand new. I'm expecting to hear a testimony in the name of Jesus. How many of you know that it's a simple act to step out and push out? It's a simple act to extend your reach into the city. Come on. You can do it. So I want to pray. I want to pray that God would extend his reach into the city. But God, let me say this to you. It's hard to minister when you're in a lot of pain. How many know that? It's hard. God wants to heal the body of Christ. He has paid a price for it, so it's important. It's important to him that you, I don't care how old, Peanut, how old are you? 88. It doesn't matter to God how old you are. He wants you whole, healthy, and strong. Is that okay? Can I say that to you? Because he paid for it on the cross. Jesus paid for it. So I'm going to pray for you this morning, if you will. Father, I just thank you this morning for the body of Christ. Not only for this body, Father, but for the body of Christ. Sahuarita, Green Valley, Tucson, Father, the body of Christ in Arizona, Father, the body of Christ in the United States, the body of Christ in the world. Father, I pray, God, that by your Spirit you would rise up, Father, that you would, Lord, as your word says here in Romans, Lord, that you would quicken the body. Quicken the body of Christ by your Spirit, Lord. We thank you for that this morning, Lord. Lord, strengthen us to do that which you've called us to do, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. And God, we thank you for the lost. We thank you, Lord, that they are around us. Lord, we thank you that you position us specifically to speak to them, God. So we ask you, Lord, lead us. Holy Spirit, guide us. We thank you for it this morning. We thank you for resurrection power that's in Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hug somebody's neck. Give somebody a hand. If somebody needs prayer, come and see us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.